We all hope for a better future, especially when the year we're leaving behind was as rough as the singing on Rent Live. But it's hard to make positive changes in our lives. Studies show only 8% of people are successful in following through with their New Year's resolution.
Today, comedian Karma Rae Gold joins us to take a look at some of our goals from years past, like getting in shape or learning a new musical instrument, and how to get on with this year's goals while having a little sexy fun along the way.
Plus, the queen of lip syncing, Britney Spears, is rumored to be a guest judge on the upcoming season of Drag Race.
Anthony Rapp issues a warning to actors who work with alleged predator Bryan Singer.
A new CDC study says 2% of high school teenagers identify as trans.
And the perfect gift for your ex.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Ooh, she has a new attitude. It's a new year for Karma Rae Gold.
Yay!
Yes, girl. Your New Year's resolution for 2019 was to get more dick in your vajayjay. Mission accomplished.
Yes, check and check.
Atta girl. What's Thank going you. On?
I'm dating this guy. He's super cute. He's super good in bed. And we're just doing it like bunnies.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're never going to see you again?
No, I mean...
It was nice being friends with you.
It was nice being friends with you.
I love you so much.
That's a common
I'll see
habit.
You about 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, when it's sour after you pop out a couple babies and the relationship sours and...
No, I already told him. I was like, well, that was on my profile, too. I was like, I don't want babies. And then, because I was
so
kind
just
of
do it
like,
in the butt now or what?
No, I was, I just wanted to make sure, like,
right.
You're not going to have babies with me.
Because you're at a certain dating age where that's a real concern for a lot of men.
Yeah. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yes.
Also, like, if you want babies, like, you should go somewhere else for babies.
Because babies don't happen here.
Right.
Well, you know, the difference between talking to a sexually active gay man and a sexually active straight guy is that the straight guy goes, oh, shit, I got my girlfriend pregnant. My life is ruined. And the gay guy's like, oh, shit, I got HIV. My life is ruined. But nobody says that anymore about the HIV.
Yeah, thank God.
But
thank
people
God
do say that about pregnant.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we watched Rent Live last night. And I was like, I was reminded about, like, you know, how devastating it was to listen to Valentina sing again.
Oh, last night you were all like, she was fine. She was wonderful on the podcast. She was great. And I'm just like, whatever. And now today, somebody's changed their tune. Maybe they were influenced by too many hashtags. Valentina sucks.
Oh.
I don't know.
This is what Lady
is somebody
Bunny
falling
wrote
under pressure from social media to change their off tune.
Ooh.
This is what Lady Bunny wrote on Twitter. Seeing all of Valentina on Fox's Rent remake was incredible. I've seen so many productions of Rent over the years, but this was the first time that when her character Angel died, I didn't cry. I cheered. No, okay, so I am a fan of imperfection, of failure as a form of performance. And I think actually casting someone as Angel, like Valentina, who's, you know, a diamond in the rough, is really endearing and also funny. And so I was inspired this morning and I put on a wig and a little boa and I did like Valentina live on Facebook. And, you know, most people, I would say like 90%, people were like, this is funny, this is fun. You know, I'm just doing like karaoke Seasons of Love. And then one of our listeners, Tom, is like,
this is ugly.
This is why you are jealous. Haters back. And I literally wrote, haters back off. And I was like, I guess he didn't back off.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, too, and we can make fun of Valentina for singing the way she did, because, you know, maybe she's not as trained. But let's also remember, Idina Menzel,
yes,
who a Broadway legend who originated that role in Rent, went on to do Wicked, and she was in Glee and has done a ton of stuff. She sounded awful too. So it's not just Valentina.
I didn't realize that Valentina, the role that she originated, was the, you know a trope is bisexual people are sluts because mm-hmm. they want to sleep with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
That was her character that she originated, the bisexual woman who sleeps with everybody.
What?
Oh. And people are like, this role is tired. And so there was a lot of like critiques on the internet about Rent being this, tired trope full of cliches that basically rich people are very comfortable with. And one of them being is that, struggle and poverty is a choice that people make and not something that's, forced upon them. And creativity sometimes comes as a coping mechanism for dealing with struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rent sort of does that disservice. But I don't know. You know, over the years, I've softened and I just enjoy Seasons of Love. And that's, let's call it a day. Even that's when it's out of tune, it's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pizza. Sex. Even when it's bad, it's still sex. Mm-hmm. Seasons of Love. Even when it's bad, it's Valentina singing.
That was good.
What's your New Year's resolution, Mark?
My New Year's resolution is the same one. It's the same one as last year. Just get to better shape, you know?
Yeah.
Lose a little weight, get a little more muscle, keep it going.
So what you're saying is that your New Year's resolutions never get accomplished.
Never get accomplished, no. But, I did find an article, so maybe we can all work on this together mm-hmm. and do our thing. And this is from the American Psychological Association. They say mm-hmm. if you're going to do something, you start small. So now you wanted to get more dicks in your life. Did you start off with some small dicks?
No.
Or did you just dive? You just dove right in. Or hopped right on board.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Initially, it was my goal to start a harem, have 5 to 10 guys on rotation.
Yeah.
And then this one locked me down pretty fast.
Oh.
You
girls are just suckers for commitment.
Well, you know what it was? This is graphic, but we were messing around on the first night and he stuck his finger in my pussy and licked it. And I was like, that's hot. That's the hottest thing I've ever had happen.
Oh. It's a pussy, not a piñata, baby.
Wow.
Actually, it's a piñata and a Ferris wheel and a circus. And it smells like bubblegum and vinegar for some reason.
Yeah, lovely combination of bubblegum and vinegar.
What does your vagina taste like?
Mine?
Yeah.
Sure, bubblegum and vinegar. Why
it's
not?
It's a scratch and sniff. Did you ever have those scratch and sniff stickers that smell like skunks? Or worse, like farts?
Yeah.
And you scratch them and then your fingers smell like ass? You're like, I swear to God, my hands don't smell like poop. It's the scratch and sniff sticker I was...
Yeah, it's too potent.
Yeah. That's what John Waters did that polyester movie
mm-hmm.
with Divine and Tab mm-hmm. Hunter. And they gave you a card and had 9 scratch and sniff spots that you didn't know what they were. And so when you watched the movie... Divine would fart or something, or she smell some flowers.
And they'd say scratch off this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's like, I'm not going to scratch number 3 on this card. I'm just going to imagine what it smells like. Because it is a John Waters film.
Yeah.
It's a little tricky.
Well, Fausto, what's your New Year's resolution? Do you have one?
Well, last year's resolution was to play the harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say... I accomplished it.
Yay!
This year's net resolution is to get Cooking with Drag Queens season 4 on the way, baby. It is just weeks away to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of RuPaul's Drag Race and the 15th mm-hmm. season of Feast of Fun. We're going to kick off on February 8th for the Super Bowl. With T.S. Madison, honey.
Ooh. Mm,
loud, live, and in color, honey. And we're going to be going down on some pickles.
So the Super Bowl is February 3rd.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoops. So that's
this Sunday.
Not this Sunday.
The day after somebody's birthday. Do you know whose birthday is coming up on Saturday?
Ooh. I have no idea. Who could it be?
I'll give you a hint. It's also Groundhog's Day.
Who could it be? It's a Groundhog's birthday.
No.
Karma's pointing at Fausto, pointing at me.
Yeah.
Who could it be?
Which you remind one? Me of a drunk Sharon Needles trying to figure out which one said what on the podcast.
Which one is
I'm just going to start punching at the air in between the two of you.
It's got to be you, right, Fausto?
Which one seems more like an Aquarian?
Oh,
when the moon
not Fausto.
The
no.
It's what's me.
It's you. It's you.
Water.
Yeah, but you're so bold.
Yeah,
and beautiful.
Yeah.
And market. He's what an is Aries. An Aquarian?
Okay, that makes sense.
I would have said idealistic, Leo, eccentric.
You are.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're a kook.
A little bit.
I'm fluent in that language.
Yes, I know. You're goof-proof, they say.
Goof-proof!
It doesn't matter how goof. We have a friend who's got a friend, or a sister, I should say, or a sibling, who's a little, you know, off.
Yeah.
And they're always like, why is Fausto so into this person? Why does he like them so much? I'm like, Fausto's goof-proof. It doesn't matter how weird your sibling is. He's into it.
I can handle it. It's customer service, honey. And I'm here to make people happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all I can do, you know?
So,
So for this year, for 2019, yeah. I want to inspire people to make art, to let go of their gay rage that they have bottled up inside them. And so Mark and I are starting a Patreon where we are going to be following several books. One is The Artist's Way, The Spiritual Path to Higher Creativity.
Mm.
Oh, my pussy's just set on fire. And another book called Velvet Rage, where we unlock the secrets to letting go of your gay anger and find your gay love and self-acceptance.
Okay, I want to read that.
It's a great book for everybody. Actually, even if you're not gay, reading Velvet Rage is actually a really great book.
So. Yeah. We all have a little bit of rage inside of us. And shame. Yeah.
Everybody's got a little bit of rage. Everybody's shame got a little rage. Bit of gay.
Get these nuts out of my face. But is New Year's resolutions like a healthy thing to do? And some people say that you shouldn't be doing them at all.
Well, it's
because you don't live in the moment.
It's very important to have goals, and so it's very important when you have goals to kind of lay it out. So the first thing they say is like start small, don't tackle everything at once. And then if you're gonna do if you're gonna modify your behaviors, maybe just stick to one thing at a time. Don't try and be like everything all at once. You don't have to Marie Kondo your whole life. You know what I mean? Just pick that one segment and work on that.
But Marie Kondo, the art of tidying up, the Con Marie method that everyone's get excited. You know, like when you hold a dick in your hand, you say, does this dick inspire joy? You say, God damn it, does. I'm keeping it. And sometimes, you know, you find that little vibrator that was sitting in your drawer and you're like, I don't need this anymore. I got the real deal. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I can let go.
I would hold on to it.
Yeah.
But she says to get rid of everything all at once.
She says to purge.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that advice is a little bit, for people who are wealthy, for people that can able to take a month off of work and be able to organize their lives.
Right. And just like, oh, I haven't used this in a month. But, you know, like you might.
Yeah.
You might again. Like, you did have a purpose at one point. Like, I don't know.
I have a rule. If you haven't used it in a year, it's get rid of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like my weight fluctuates so much that I always am hesitant to
get rid of
clothes. Because I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to be fat again in a minute here. So.
It can happen, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the thing is also, too, is like once you set your goals, you want to talk to people about it so that you get that kind of support from other people.
Mm. And so
they hold you accountable.
That's if they're the good people, you know, there's some people, not everybody's a good person. And so some people will try to sabotage you.
And some people are good, but they still have like their flaws.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's a better way to put it.
And they're like, I'm on a diet. And they're like, karma, here's a cake.
How come you're not eating? You know, stuff
nobody
like that.
Likes a skinny Santa.
Right. And I'm like, I don't know.
Some people get a thrill of shaming others and making them feel chill.
Yeah. So that happened to one of my friends. Like, she went on a very strict diet because she had a heart issue. And, like, she had coworkers who were constantly badgering her to, like, eat donuts and bagels at work.
I have that, too. Yeah. It's like people just bring boxes of shit into the thing. And part of it is, you know, if your mouth is full of donut, you can't yell at the boss.
People get mad at that. What, you're not going to come out and get drunk with us? All, you know?
Right.
Like, no, not tonight. I got work to do. And, you know, I got to worry about my health. And like, oh, come on.
Well, yeah. In the early days of the podcast, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. The guests would often be very celebratory and bring bottles of wine and expensive liquors, and
we drink or make cocktails on every episode. And we're like, and then we're like, oh my god, we're drunk five nights of the week.
Yeah, it takes a toll. Mm-hmm.
It was, and also the audience, you know, especially if we would get really slushed, they'd be like, "That's a fucking show." They're like, "I don't understand what the hell you're saying."
Or I'd work on a Friday night, and I'd come back, and Fausto would have recorded a podcast on a Friday, and the house would be like, a party just happened, and I'm like, "Fuck this shit." Clean up after yourself.
It was one cocktail that we made was so delicious. Was pear sake mixed with energy drinks?
Oh,
like, you know, those kind of B complex, like Red Bull and Monster.
Yeah,
and we drank it bottoms up, mm-hmm. and the devil laughed. You know that Monster Energy drink lady, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
It's the viral video of this woman who's at some sort of like religious wingnut bazaar.
Wait, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Show her to her.
She has a booth. She's standing there and she's deconstructing the Monster Energy drink packaging, saying that it's actually code for Satanists to promote their beliefs into the mainstream.
Wow.
And then she says, look at this. It's a Christ. It's on the Christ on a cross. The O in Monster has a cross in it.
Oh, sure.
And when you drink it back, bottoms up, the cross is inverted, and the devil laughs.
Oh, my God. She saw the omen too many times.
Mark kind of believed in that stuff when you were a kid, right?
Well, I went to Catholic school, and they showed The Exorcist on regular television. So it's the Addison version. And a nun told us we should all go home and watch it, because that kind of stuff really does happen. And I believed it.
Yeah.
And it was scary.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I know. For a little kid?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I was in eighth grade, but still.
No, you're still impressionable. Yeah. You know, your brain's not fully formed. You're still a kid.
So, according to the Catholic Church, how do I prevent having demonic spirits to taking over my body? And what do I do once they come inside?
Have fun.
Douche.
So, what do I do?
I don't know. I'm not a Catholic exorcist. Pray.
I mean, how do you prevent from it from happening? Like, you know,
well, holy water. She did tell us, she's like, don't ever invite a devil or an evil spirit into your body because they will come.
Oh,
so that's the thing. It's like, you don't invite them in.
Yeah.
So I don't know how little Reagan, how she invited them in or what she did to make that happen.
I do know that if you say Sharon Needles' name three times in front of a Coke mirror. She shows up, snorts all your cocaine, and disappears. That is a joke that Mark wanted to make.
In our Cooking with Drag Queens episode, and he just wouldn't. He's like, this is a family-friendly show. I'm like,
There are 10-year-old kids watching RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm like, I gotta make that joke in front of a child. You know what I'm saying?
They'll get it later.
Yeah, they won't get it. They're like, what's cocaine?
Yeah.
Coca-Cola? Mommy, what's... One of those drag kids mm-hmm. got into trouble because they were, like, bragging about dropping E off their video. And, you know, not E the Dragnificent, but mm-hmm. the other one. And everyone's like, this is a child bragging about doing drugs. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that a mother is not letting her... 12-year-old boy or gender nonconforming child, you know, who dresses up in drag.
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about.
Some kids do. We'll get to that later, though. We'll get to that later.
But New Year's Eve resolution.
So if you screw up, don't beat yourself up. That's super important. Mm-hmm. So this dick is treating you okay.
Yeah, so far so good.
So far so good. It might not always.
It might not always.
Might
I know.
Go in the wrong hole someday.
Or just wander off.
Is there a wrong hole for you?
No, I'm open. Any will do. As long as my hemorrhoids aren't flared up, I'm good.
All right, girl. Party.
So you just got to, you know, soldier on, as they say, and keep going for it. And you know what? If you are having difficulties, you know, ask for support. Figure it out. Most people are more than happy to talk to you about what's going on and maybe offer you some advice or some emotional support or maybe see a therapist.
You know, one thing we do need help mm-hmm. with is covering the cost of our computer. We are having some, basically the hard drive, the logic board and the battery of our computer is in such dire shape that repairing it is going to be basically not as effective as basically just upgrading to a new computer. So we're asking people right now if you can just take a moment of your time and go to feastoffun.com. GoFundMe.com/feastoffuncomputer. We're also posting a link on our shows and on social media. If you can just even give us a dollar, like a drag queen, you tip it or a dollar. You like the show. You're listening to it right now. If everybody just listening to the show just gave $1, it'd be plenty.
Be done.
Yeah.
That's
easy.
All.
Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and basically you love Feast of Fun. You rely on it for your emotional support to get your New Year's resolutions done. We're going to be giving you more information just in a moment here. And that's why, you know, we rely on your support to make this happen. Mm-hmm. So if you've been thinking about it, get tip us a dollar, pledge or donate a dollar, GoFundMe.com/feastoffuncomputer. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. So that was actually the end of it. It was
Was it. Yeah. Well, I actually have some good advice for sticking to your New Year's resolutions.
What's that?
Well, for a lot of people, it's usually like they're wanting to see some kind of goal, either lose weight mm-hmm. or learn something new or take care of their finances in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know, Mark and I take a lot of complicated projects on. And what I always tell people, you know, I know Marie Kondo says, like, transform your life, stop everything, clean out your house. But even if you can just do something small, you know, breaking it into small little steps, you can accomplish something, mm-hmm. you know? If you want a stronger core, just do a plank for 30 seconds mm-hmm. once a day.
Start small.
Oh, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
That's like simple, 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 quiet, little, tiny steps. You might not even get it accomplished, but the feeling of at least doing those small steps. I always tell people it's like, go into the gym, leave the gym at least in the same place you came in. You know, so you don't leave the gym feeling worse than you did.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you're doing something. You're moving forward. And that's ultimately like the most important thing you can do is just give yourself the ability to partner with other people and make small steps and move forward. And then you'll be on Rent Live.
Ooh.
Singing on key.
Yeah.
So
there's new findings from the Centers for Disease Control's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report that says that 2% of high school students identify as transgender.
Wait, the CDC issues a mortality and morbidity report every single week?
I guess so.
When can I subscribe to them?
They probably have something. You just go to their website or something like that.
So it's basically like your aunt sending you an email going, did you know that mm-hmm. if you put the plastic in the microwave oven, it's going to give you cancer?
Mm. So the data was taken from a 2017 youth risk behavior survey. And so they used 131,000 high school students, grades 9 through 12 from 10 different states, and asked them how they identify. And students responded to questions about violence, victimization, substance use, suicide risk, sexual risk behaviors, and then also about being transgender. And I guess, you know, students, a lot of them, 35% of them said that they had tried to commit suicide at one point.
Oh, my God.
35 of all high school students have contemplated suicide.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is it 35% of all high school students are the ones who are identifying as
This is a little confusing. It says the 2% of high schools in America identify as transgender, and approximately 35% have attempted to end their life sometime in the last 12 months.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's amazing that we have, like, you know, somebody like Donald Trump who's going to ban trans people from the military. And it's just like, you know, it's 2% of the population. That's about as many people as have Neanderthal DNA in their bodies.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't know that.
Because each human has about 1.5 or 2% Neanderthal
Mark
DNA.
Mark is obsessed with its documentary.
tell me about
the biological origins of humans. So don't take it personally.
What's it called?
Starts being like, you know, you have Neanderthal DNA too.
Some people have like up to 3%.
Yeah, one of my friends on Facebook, he posted recently that he did one of those DNA swabs and came back some percentage Neanderthal, and I was like...
They did one on Lady Bunny, and it came back with a big question mark.
Just had a Bigfoot symbol, a Bigfoot on it.
Mark, what's the difference between Bigfoot and Sasquatch?
One's your mom, one's your paw. But I am fascinated. I am fascinated
about... You didn't even give himself time to milk his joke. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Like, duh.
Yeah. I am fascinated about the origins of humanity, and I am watching something that's on Amazon Prime. And they say that, you know, so human beings evolved, right? Uh-huh. And at the time that human beings were around, there was also other human-like.
Homo sapien.
Well, we are Homo sapien, right? So everybody that's alive today has Homo sapien.
What
so
are they, hominids?
there was Homo erectus, Neanderthals, and something, and Devosian or something like that. And so these, these three different types of humans were out there, but not Homo sapiens.
Not us.
And they were thinking that maybe they wouldn't be able to intermarry, but because they had separated from the family chain, like relatively recently, you could still reproduce with them.
Dude, so, what is the name of this thing? I gotta watch
I'll send it to you. It's on Amazon Prime.
And, I'm about 50% Homo Cholo.
And so the Devosians lived in China, and Homo erectus lived in China, they think. And so, like, a lot of the people that are in China have a lot more of the DNA from those people. Mm-hmm. And people of European origin have more of the Neanderthal DNA in their body. But, you know, of course, since we've all mixed together, that now we all have a little bit of some of that.
Yeah, we're all busy humping.
All busy humping.
There's a little bit of you and me and everybody.
Well, what's really funny, too, is you see, like, these, you know, because, of course, you know, it's a documentary or whatever, and so they have to show, like, early man encountering these other human-like creatures. Seriously, looking at them and, like, touching them and being like, ooh, they're about to bone. And then, you know... But they say so. Every human being has about like
that's Mark's new porn.
It's
watching Neanderthal porn.
Well, they say like our skin, the attributes that we have from our skin come from the Neanderthals.
That's wild.
And
that's
our immune system.
Our immune system. A lot of it comes from those ancient archaic humans. They call them.
Oh,
it's absolutely fascinating.
So other primates that don't have this lineage don't have the same type of immune system, and so fight disease differently than we do.
Yeah.
So that's why we're just like, you know, we can take a licking and keep on ticking. It's a pussy, not a piñata. Actually, it's a piñata and a pussy and a playground. It smells like bubblegum and vinegar. I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it's
great.
You beautiful. Trog, no! No, Trog! Have you seen the Joan Crawford documentary, Trog, where Joan Crawford plays a scientist? It's one of the last films she ever made.
Oh, God.
And she unearths melts a caveman from ice.
Yeah.
And it's a drama, you know? So it's kind of like the parable to Frankenstein's monster, you know? Mm-hmm. Right? So Trog is living in the modern world and he just can't get it on. He just can't get along in this wacky modern world with humans. And so Joan Crawford's going around very much like Mommy Dearest, just scolding him the entire time. That's... Trog, no, don't eat those fish. Trog, no, that's a cat. No, Trog. Trog, no.
Oh, my God. We all just want to see Joan yell at people.
I do, too.
Well, if you want to see Joan yell at people, also on Amazon Prime, is one of her movies called Harriet Craig. And she plays, like, this housewife, this woman, she's married to this man. And she's just a mean bitch the whole time. It's, like, it's horrible. And you wonder, it's like, I think it was a stage play first. And so she's just like, bitches about him doing this, bitches about him doing that. It's controlling to her cousin who comes to live with them, forces like the friends to stay away, even goes to his job and thwarts a promotion because she doesn't want her husband like leaving. And it's just like, it's one thing after another. And I wonder like how much of like the movie Mommy Dearest is based on Joan Crawford playing this character.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's really weird. And even the character in the play is like a lot of it seems to be coming from Joan Crawford's own life. She's just like, I had to work like, as a laundry person like at the age of 14 because my father left, and like I think that was her origin. Her mother was like took in laundry.
So is this character that she's playing in this Amazon movie where she's basically gaslighting her husband? Yeah, right?
Basically.
Is that based on her life? Like, so no, screenwriter like?
No, I think it was a play first, and then they decided to make it into a movie. And so, you know, and this is a role that probably should have been played by somebody who's much younger. The thing about Joan is like she got away with playing these roles at like 40 something years old that should be played by like 20 year olds.
Like us.
Yeah, I feel like that's why she's such a hero, though, is because, like, you know, typically in Hollywood, women disappear mm-hmm. after, I don't know, 35?
Mm-hmm. 19.
Yeah. I was like, Demi you're too
Lovato,
old.
You're done.
Yeah.
Wasn't she a singer?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I just thought thinking of young singer.
She had her face
singer.
Out there.
What's the name of that girl that everyone's like, who's that on Rent from High School Musical?
Was that?
You know what I'm talking about? They're all like,
yeah,
so you're saying girl. That like Joan Crawford was kind of a hero.
Yeah, because
she
like she was said, just like, so
I'm just gonna do
she's
this.
She's like, nope, still here.
Yeah,
not going anywhere.
I'm
just
still here,
just gonna play all these abusive roles.
Eartha Kitt was, you know, raging against the world until the day she died. Her daughter on this podcast, Kit Shapiro, said that her mother was screaming, and then the minute she died, and she just said, you know what? You can. It's okay to go now. And she's like, ah! And just,
oh, wow.
And she died on Christmas Day.
God. That's amazing.
Not sure
Eartha
this
Kitt
is true
amazing.
Or not. I want to think this is an embellishment, but if it's true, I want to believe it's true.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just too good to be true.
It's true.
Whereas Joan Crawford and kind of like Carol Channing, they both died just by dissolving into the thin air.
Yeah.
Like a Jedi.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I have to go back to my planet now. Anthony Rapp is telling people, back off of from Bryan Singer. Do not work with Bryan Singer. You are keeping a predator in power and will be put on blast by me.
Good for him.
The Star Trek actor says he's got receipts. He is not having it.
They're making a remake of the Red Sonja. Yes. Do you remember Red Sonja?
What the hell is Red Sonja?
It's a disease.
It's a movie.
Go see a doctor.
It's
if
a
you
movie
have it.
That they did in like the 80s with Brigitte Nielsen, right?
It was Brigitte. It was kind of like the female equivalent to Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, right.
It was Red Sonja. And so he's making the remake of that. I guess he's being paid like $10 million. But like, you know, with all the whole thing with the Me Too movement going on right now, you would think that like people would be a little, and these accusations against him, who's ever investing all this money into a movie would probably like do a little research on this guy or something.
Right.
Are they just going to look at his track record and be like, oh, well, we'll just put him in this. Yeah. I don't know. To me, it seems it's very, short-sighted, or they're just not, or maybe they just don't even care.
That's
maybe they're
what
in
I
on
think
it.
It is. Yeah.
You know? Who knows? Because there's certainly plenty of accusations now, you know, and, what's his name?
Anthony Rapp.
Anthony Rapp is saying he's like holding the, you know, established actors to a better standard as opposed to somebody who's just really just kind of starting out and is eager to take kind of any role they can get. You know?
Sure.
Well, I feel bad for the actor that's sort of like in a situation where they can't say no to being cast in a film with somebody who's a sexual predator, you know?
Yeah, but I love what Anthony Rapp's doing. It's kind of like the reverse of producer blackball, you know, he's like blackballing the producers.
Yeah, his star is rising now.
Yeah,
he's a hot star on a hot TV show, Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I just love how he's wielding his power. I'm like, hell yeah!
And he's doing it for, you know, he had a deal with that guy who everybody, you know, what I'm talking about, House of Cards actor.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. Yeah. Ooh. Yep. No, no, honey.
Yep.
So the weather's supposed to be, you hear that outside? That is somebody shoveling snow in Chicago. It's supposed to go down into the negative 50s in the wind chill factor next couple of days.
Is it? I don't know. I feel like it's not going to be as bad as the people have been saying. It's just going to be like negative 20 now or something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. It'll be all right. We've done it before.
But people do panic when it gets really cold and when the snow hits hard, you know. And
I mean, I bought groceries. Yeah.
You've packed.
You have food in your house?
I do. I have food in my house. I've got
It's vinegar, you know, bubble gum. It's going to be minus 12, minus 21 at the low. So it's like, come on. It's not that bad.
No.
It's okay. We're in Chicago.
And then Saturday, it's going to be 36 degrees.
I know.
And we're going to celebrate your birthday.
We're going to celebrate my birthday.
Yeah. Yay. I'm so excited.
We're going to make you a birthday salad.
Oh.
No cake? Gonna stick to your resolutions.
I'm gonna have cake. I'll have some cake.
A little bit of slice of cake, honey.
I'll have something.
Ain't gonna
you
hurt
don't
you.
Have to. If you wanna stick with your resolution, stick with your resolution.
Yeah, we'll put a candle in
I'm
the
here
lettuce.
To support.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But if I fail, I can call you and be like, Karma had that cake.
And I'll be like, don't beat yourself up.
What's your favorite kind of cake to have?
Chocolate cake.
What kind of chocolate cake?
Like chocolate cake, chocolate icing.
Yeah, chocolate cake, chocolate icing.
German, Black Forest.
Ooh. I like nuts on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get these nuts in my face.
Why do you keep saying, what is that from?
I don't know, but my
Google
favorite
it, girl.
Is like the face you do.
It's, you know, for people who know what that is, they're laughing.
I don't know what it is and I'm dying.
So I'll explain it to you. Latrice Royale, who's on RuPaul's Drag Race, played a prison warden in her first season with Sharon Needles, and her catchphrase was, "Get these nuts out of my face." And it's the weirdest thing to have as a catchphrase. And I'm just like, and I'm so, you know, because Latrice is back on the show, all of a sudden I'm just seeing all over the internet, "Get these nuts out of my face," in my face. I'm just so happy right now. Just... I was entertained by Valentina. I thought it was nice, you know. Some the NEA 4 performance artists, you know who those are? Like Tim Miller, Holly Hughes, Tim Fleck, Karen Finley. There were four performance artists who had their grants revoked.
What?
By conservatives because they were making art that was too sexy.
Too sexy for their art.
Too sexy for their art. And anyways, you know, at the time when Rent the Musical came out, we saw it as a sort of a betrayal, a co-opting of the real-life struggle, the AIDS crisis that people in my generation went through, you know. And Dudley Saunders wrote this on his Facebook page. I want to just read a little bit about it. He said, "The people in Rent were the people that the rich producers knew. Mainstream theater people just waiting for their big break to become mainstream stars." He then grafted on AIDS into the storyline to give it a patina of gravity that was pretty much otherwise alien to him and the audience. Of the millions of tiny choices made to comfort his audience was one moment he invoked of the act up, the protests. And they said, "Act up." And then they shouted, "Fight AIDS." Who could disagree? But the actual chant went, "People with AIDS are under attack. What do we do? Act up, fight back." And that major difference meant that fighting back against AIDS was political. Fighting back was what the audience had never done, even when it was their own kids dying from this disease.
Mm.
But of course, no ambitious musical theater writer would dare implicate the audience. Instead, he reworked Richard Wright's insight that when white readers cried at his stories of black suffering, they felt absolved of their complicity in racism, and it made it a tactic. Larson, the creator of Rent, let his audiences exonerate themselves by crying for people who didn't exist with AIDS, when in real life, their passivity helped them to die. This was good careerism and morally monstrous. Dun, dun, dun. Take that. And, you know, and I think part of it is, I think with the AIDS crisis and with Rent and being brought up, I think it's really important to sort of talk about these and really examine these ideas in full again.
Yeah. Are you the one who posted that other YouTube video with the girl talking about rent?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, too, how she highlighted how passive or actually obtrusive the Reagan administration was in fighting AIDS and that whole look pretty and do nothing.
That's what the Reagan said to the CDC.
Yeah.
Don't do anything, look pretty and do nothing.
Yeah, and I was like, Jesus Christ, you're just so happy to watch your population die.
Well, they didn't know what to do with it, you know?
And yeah, I think, but, like, do something. Well, like, you know, how about look pretty and do something?
Yeah.
It was also when the religious right got involved in government in a big thing. Reagan's the one who really welcomed them in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them thought of it as, you know, God's punishment for being gay.
For sure, yeah. No, I was definitely told that as a kid. Like, that's what they get. And,
well, we still have that kind of attitude, you know? It's like, if you see somebody who's struggling with their weight, they're like, they deserve it. They ate that bag of Cheetos.
Yeah.
Somebody has got lung cancer. They shouldn't have smoked. And it's still that idea. It's like that somehow illness or disease is a punishment.
Yeah.
For whatever choices or behaviors they had. And I don't think it's an effective way to deal with
it. No, it's a lot of victim blaming so that nobody has to do anything.
And you know what victim blaming really is? It belies the fear that the person who is hearing the bad news is worried it's not going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get AIDS because I'm not a homosexual. I don't inject drugs. I'm not a sex worker.
Yeah.
I'm not going to feel the impact of this. And mm-hmm. so therefore, I'm absolved.
Yep.
You know, when you see something bad happen to another person, it's an instinct to turn to that person and say, what did you do to have this terrible thing happen to you? Because you don't want that to happen to you.
Exactly.
Instead of being, you know, it's
compassionate.
Like, how do we prevent this to happen for other people? What can we do to comfort you?
Right.
Those are the first two questions I'd like to ask anytime I see somebody struggling mm-hmm. and suffering. Not like, you know, do something different. You know, what'd you do to you?
Nobody deserves it.
Yeah.
Nobody deserves it.
Well, you deal with a lot of people who are in crisis and mm-hmm. struggling with their health. And, you know, is that something that we're like improved as a society? Do you think that we're like getting to be more understanding about how to move away from victim blaming and shaming?
Not necessarily. Like, there are some people I find the most compassionate of my coworkers are ones who are dealing with heavy loads themselves. So, like, one of my coworkers has a child who's very delayed and has a lot of high needs. And I had made some offhand, just kind of a joking remark, because we had like this 58-year-old lady and her 72-year-old mother was like still her emergency contact because this lady is just like getting high all the time and is fairly unable to do much for herself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, said something like, yeah, your mom's 72. It's about time you got off the tit. And then, like, my coworker was like, hey, you know, you can't judge people like that. You don't know what these people have been through. Like, you don't know. Like, life has a funny way of throwing you some circumstances that you can't deal with or foresee.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, like, when you're dealing, if you work in a restaurant or in retail and you deal with a customer who's being rude and mean to you, you know, and you're just like, this person doesn't deserve any compassion, ask yourself, what if this person had just gone through something horrible
mm-hmm.
this past week?
Yeah.
And is just doesn't even know how to process it.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, lashing out at you because you're a safe place for them to put their feelings in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't take it personally.
Right. So, I don't know, kind of after that little interaction that was a little bit eye-opening, like, yeah, you really just don't know about people's lives. But yeah, I do think that, I don't know, things will get better. And I'm hoping that I'm hoping that if, like, the dream of socialized healthcare comes to pass ever, it will.
Isn't it amazing that it's just a dream for us, whereas, like, a every other, every Canada, Japan, all of Europe. It's just, it's working fine.
Norway.
It's like dreaming of having shoes.
Yeah, right.
Someday we'll have shoes in this country. If only we could find a good shoemaker.
Please, can I have some more? There's a young man who was found dead in his bed 5 days after eating spaghetti leftovers that had been kept out of the fridge in his kitchen.
Oh, he was not found 5 days. The spaghetti was left out for five days. Okay.
Yeah.
The spaghetti was sitting on the counter. I've eaten stuff that was left out overnight or even a day or two. And my rule of thumb is like, well, doesn't have any meat, so it's not going to kill me. But I guess even just a bowl of pasta can
Pasta
be lethal.
And things like pasta and rice are some of the most horrific things to leave out, because you can get some really awful bacteria growing on there. It's not the bacteria that's going to kill you, but the bacteria produces poisons. Like, it shits out poisons, and those poisons can get you. And this poor kid, he ate the pasta, had been there for 5 days, heated it up, went to like a sports practice, and half an hour later he's just like not feeling well. So he goes home and he's puking, and then he goes to bed, and then he just, 11 hours later he's dead. His kidneys just shut down.
Yeah, that's wild.
I know.
Yeah. I was staying in a commune in East Berlin in 1997.
Of course you were.
For a month. I didn't speak. I'm like one of those Americans, like, I don't speak any German, honey. But I do know speak Dickenese. As they see your dick, I'll get on my knees. And, they were all the time were like making these delicious vegan meals, And they didn't have a refrigerator for it, so they would just leave it out on the counter.
Whoa.
And I was like, this is going to kill somebody. And they're like, no, it is fine. It is, does not have any meat in it. It is fine to leave it out. It's fine. Whoa. I was like, this
Europeans
is shit.
Have a different idea of refrigeration than Americans.
Yeah. I was like, girl, I was like, I'll just eat some doner kebab on the street. Thank you very much.
I'm good.
I'm all good about that. Valentine's Day is coming soon.
Yeah.
And, I like to live every day as if it was Valentine's
Aww.
Day. And I always say to my dearest and most loved one how much I care about you.
Oh, thank you. And I say I feel the same.
I think you're a wonderful person, Marco.
I think you're
right. I agree.
You're so right.
I love you. Me too. And he's like, nyaw. No, but so what's a good... But sometimes I think, as a society, we just don't have a healthy way of ending a relationship with people. And when we're dealing with our exes, we're just like, all my exes live in Texas. I don't want to deal with them. Get out of my life. And this is a cute little news story Mark found about naming a cockroach after your ex. Which is, I think, is kind of funny and cute.
Yeah, I think that's really cute. And it goes to a good cause, right? Like, it goes to some foundation.
So you can name a cockroach for $2. The proceeds will go to the Hemsley Conservation Center.
The HCC.
Mm-hmm.
Name a cockroach program.
I named a cockroach after you.
Well, anybody can name any cockroach after anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is like an official cockroach.
Well, I named a cockroach after you, Karma.
Aww.
And I named it Melvin.
Aww.
It wasn't your name. I just, in your honor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
And I stepped on it.
I was I was bartending once at a bar, and there was a woman came in, and she had had a mastectomy because she had cancer.
Aww.
And so she's sitting at the bar, and then all of a sudden, she starts screaming, and she rips out her fake boob, which was just like stuffing, and throws it into the air because she felt something crawling in there. And then on the counter, there was like this big, giant cockroach that had come out, and it was just like, it was terrifying because she screamed. Second of all, I had known her for a couple of weeks at this point in time, and it had been like talking to her about her cancer and recovery and all that kind of stuff like that. And then this big cockroach just comes out, and she tried to say it crawled in there from the bar, but it was just like, how did it get into your stuff? You know what I mean? So it came from her home or something like that. So I think she was just kind of like, it was frightening.
She had bugs in her titties.
Yeah, she had titty bugs.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I know some drag queens have had cockroaches in their wigs.
Oh,
and they've been on stage performing.
Mine. Yeah.
And the roach crawls on their face.
Oh my god. Well,
you
know,
the back are like, and then people start like smacking the, you know.
Oh my god.
Hilarious, but yeah, also, you know, devastating.
That, if it had been like intentional, that would have been genius.
Mm. I think one of the drag queens from Drag Race, with Violet Chachki, when she came back to, you know, to give their crown over, she was dressed up as wearing her crown and covered in plastic cockroaches.
Oh, wow.
There was rumors that some of them were real. Ooh. They came off of Lady Bunny's body.
And she ate them.
And she was like a lizard. there's rumors that Britney Spears is going to be guest judging on the season 11 RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, that sounds good.
And usually with these rumors, it's kind of like more like they're, you know,
they're true.
And, you know, she's the queen of lip syncing. So if anybody can judge on lip syncing in a show, it's going to be Brit.
That's true.
I don't know what, if I had Britney Spears giving me advice on my drag act, and she's like, it's cool.
Yeah, I don't know that I would want to listen to her advice, but
she was a judge on American Idol for a hot minute.
Yeah.
Do you even remember her on the show?
No, I don't.
I just wonder, like, her faculties, like,
right?
Where is she at? Because, like, does she still have a conservatorship over her? You know, I don't know.
I wouldn't mind having
one of those. Just be like, you deal with my taxes. You deal with my finances. You deal with my shit.
Yeah.
Just tell me where to eat, where to shit, who to fuck, where to go to sleep.
Yeah, so it's because of that I doubt, you know, her sort of ability to do any sort of, like, critical thinking or interpretations or, you know, I'm like, you're just going to spout out the same old, same old. Like,
yeah, I don't know. You know, people have different abilities and stuff. And, you know, granted, she's a fantastic performer and people love her and adore her. So, you know, she might have some, you know, insight.
Totally. It would
just be kind of fun to kind of see her interact with some of these drag queens, especially because so many drag queens have, you know, done her act over the years.
Yeah, like, I would like to see her. I don't know. I just think she's cute and I want to see her, but.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want a hot body, you want a crown.
Yeah.
You better work, bitch.
Was that your last hit, wasn't
it? Was one of the last hits, yeah. You better work, bitch. Mm. Kendall Jenner and other supermodels are going to be subpoenaed to appear in court over the failed Fire Festival.
Maybe subpoenaed. They'll be subpoenaed and they may have to appear. So we'll see what happens, what the judge says, if they have to or not. But it's amazing how, now you have not seen the Fire Festival documentary.
I'll probably watch it Wednesday.
Well, which one are you going to watch? Because you know there's one on Hulu.
I'm going to watch both.
Are you?
Yeah.
I only watched the Netflix one. I guess the Hulu one, the guy who was in charge of it, was paid to do that one.
Okay.
So that might have some more information in it. But a lot of people seem to really like the Netflix one.
Cool.
I got a bottle of Evian, Mark, if you want to, you know.
Suck a dick.
Evian water, so good, you'll suck a dick for it. Mm-hmm. That's their new marketing campaign. That poor guy is like all over social media.
I know.
And he's just like, I was just trying to do my job.
He's probably getting lots of offers from guys. You know, daddies are in right now and grandpas are in. He's probably got these young guys being like, I got some Evian over here. Come get it. And he's like,
drink the water, drink the cum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this whole case. Because, I mean, you know, the guy frauded people for like lots and lots and lots of money. It's going to see how, but it'll be interesting what it does to like the social influencers market.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people were paid a ton of money for it to be like, come to the Fry Festival. But you know what? You know, just because you endorse something doesn't mean, or pay to do something, it doesn't mean that you actually know what the fuck's going on with it.
Right, right.
Yeah. I put a yellow, one of the orange, sorry, not a yellow. I put an orange cube in my social media profile. Nobody wrote me a check or nothing.
No.
No.
That's dumb.
And people are like, what, are you for Trump? What is this?
You're also like 2 years too late.
I know. Also, I've been like, maybe by mistake they would send me a check or something. They're like, here, Fausto, have some money.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I have this amazing project in the Bahamas. It's going to be great. They're going to be alcohol and, you know, models.
Well, and the one woman,
and
she,
music.
There was one woman who was, you know, Blink, she had to feed all the, she was the restaurateur, and she had to feed all the workers and whatnot. And she said she was out like $50,000. So they did a GoFundMe for her, and she's gotten like $150,000+. So she made bank off that festival. Yeah,
she did.
Yeah. Well, that you sound like, you know, Barbara Bush being taken, like the people who were in the Astrodome because of the hurricane were doing well. She went through some hell. And yeah. The fact, right. She probably, the money that she lost may have been $50,000, but she probably lost even more money in the damage to her business and in legal costs and personal expenses and trauma. I mean,
look,
and that's just
Fausto,
one individual.
Taking the big picture, looking at the world view. I know.
People
this
are
is
like,
what
you
I
know,
love about you.
She's like making well. I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't want to have those kind of problems. You know, and to me, watching that documentary actually was aggravating and frustrating, because we deal with the trust of people. We try to raise money for big projects, and that implies that, you know, there is an understanding that we're going to finish these things. We're going to execute them. And when I see somebody who so effortlessly raises millions of dollars and then squanders it all, it really makes me mad, because it makes doing what we do a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with somebody who is so privileged and so corrupt and so such a shithead, you know, this asshole, this fire guy. And, you know, and even like Ja Rule's like back at it. Like he's taking a scam someplace else, you know?
Whoa.
And I'm just in the you know, it's a viper nest of corrupt people with, you know, credit card scams. It was like this. To me, I was just like, you know, here we are just trying to create content, and we, you know, we struggle to make ends meet, and we put out the shows. We execute what we promise to do for people. We over deliver. And it is frustrating. It makes me angry. It makes me sad. And it makes me anxious to watch it, you know? So for every person who's out there, you know, whenever anybody does a crowdfunding campaign or anybody does a social media, you know,
because we've seen people, you know, that have raised like tens of thousands of dollars, even hundreds of thousands of dollars for projects through films, like Kickstarters, and like, it never went anywhere.
Performances, experiences.
Nobody ever got anything from it. And so it does make it harder for the rest of us who actually do produce stuff and it goes out there and people like it. So.
Yeah. So folks, just know, if you post a feast of fun show on your social media, I won't send you a check, but I will personally thank you for doing that.
Aww.
You know. So, Karma Nyberger, it's always good to talk to you.
Lovely to be here. This is always wonderful. It really always, like, buoys my spirits.
Well, so do you. That's what friends are for.
Aww. And good luck with your new relationship. I hope you guys have a good Valentine's Day. You guys got something planned?
No, I'm actually going to see my family in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Fuck him for Valentine's.
I know. Because it's like President's Day, too, and my aunt's off for President's Day.
Oh, is she a president or something? Or?
She's a teacher.
She watched Hamilton the musical.
Yeah.
You know, get out of this weather, get some of that sunshine.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll get some good dick in later.
Yeah.
Honey, Tinder in Florida. Florida, man, what could go wrong?
She's exclusive now. I want to remind everybody, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
And you can make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. But right now, we are trying to raise funds to get our computer. Save our computer. Go to GoFundMe.com. I'm so used to saying FeastOfFun.com. GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer and tip us a dollar. Any amount will go a long way, actually. So we rely on your support. We thank you so much. Karma Nyberger, it's a pleasure. You can follow her on Twitter, Instagram, all those. Yeah. Just Karma Nyberger, right?
Yeah.
No, Karma Ray Gold.
Karma Ray Gold.
Oh,
but
Jesus. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I dead named you.
Who cares?
Are you okay? I'm
yeah.
so sorry.
I'm.
You changed your name and I was like.
She's still yeah. Karma Nyberger to
yeah,
us.
Yeah.
But
like
professionally.
But the audience
yeah.
doesn't
yeah.
know that. Karma Ray Gold, honey.
Karma Ray Gold.
New woman.
Yeah. Don't
I'm so sorry.
Worry about it till I get a Netflix special. I'm like, it's.
That's coming,
it's
right?
Fine. Oh, yeah. It's right around the corner.
Monique is like. You mean she got $4 million? She's about, Monique is pissed off at you now. Bye, everybody.
Bye.